Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. Mazel tov on the completion of Sefer Yecheskel. Please join us, the Tardi Mecha community, at the Siyum on Thursday, December 12th on Zoom at 12:15 p.m. Eastern, 7:15 p.m. Israel time. Join us as we unpack prophecy, questions, answers, and reflections with Mrs. Rachel Besser. Please sign up at ouwomen.org/Siyum, Siyum. And now for today's Perek.
Welcome to Tart Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Batya Brander, and today we will be studying Hosea Perek Bet, the second chapter. In the last chapter, we learned about Hosea's unusual instruction to marry a woman who is of unfaithful origin and to have children with her. The three children's names were Yisrael, Lo Ami, not my nation, and Lo Ruchama, I will have no mercy. It represents the final decree of exile and punishment that will be meted out to the 10 tribes. In a surprising twist, Perek Bet, the second chapter, opens with a complete reversal of the themes of chapter 1. V'hayam ispar b'nei Yisrael k'chol hayam, and the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand in the sea, asher lo yimad v'lo yisaper, which can be neither measured nor counted. And it will be instead of them being called, "You are not my nation," Atem Ya'amer Lahem B'nei Kelchai. It will be said of them that they are the children of the living God. V'nikbitzu B'nei Yehuda U'B'nei Yisrael Yachdav. And the children of Yehuda, the kingdom of Yehuda, and the kingdom of Israel will be joined together, will be gathered together. V'sama Lahem Rosh Achad. And they will have one head on both of them. V'alu min ha'aretz. And they will leave the land, meaning they'll leave their lands where they're exiled. Ki gadol yom Yisrael, for great is the day of Yisrael. These uplifting words remind us that even though the decree of the first chapter ends with Lo Ami, we are not God's nation, that's just an expression. It's not a permanent state. So I understand how Lo Ruchama can become Ruchama, and how Lo Ami can become Ami. But how does Yisrael, which is negative in the first chapter, become Yisrael, Yom Yisrael, a positive expression in the second chapter? Yisrael, Jezreel, really comes from two words, Yisra-kel, Hashem plants. And if Hashem is planting us in the land of Eretz Yisrael, then that's a very positive thing. But if Hashem is planting us outside the land of Eretz Yisrael, then that's galus, that's exile. The Malbim, who much of what we're learning is based on today, points out that the image of planting is perfect to explain this dialectic. When first planted, a seed rots and decays. And then look what happens. Such abundance comes forth from just one seed. Reminds me of the quote from Christine Kane, "Sometimes when you're in a dark place, you think you've been buried, but actually you've been planted." Most of the rest of the chapter is described using metaphor of a husband with an unfaithful wife. She is running after her lovers, but the husband wants her to abandon her lovers and to return exclusively to him. We'll learn the steps that he takes and how far he's willing to go to reunify with his wife. We understand that the husband in the parable is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that the unfaithful wife is B'nai Yisrael. But who are the lovers? They are either the foreign powers, for example, Egypt and Assyria, who the Jewish people turn to for support instead of relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Additionally, they are the Avodah Zarah, the foreign worship, which we also call Avodat Kochavim Umazalot, worship of the stars and the constellations. The Ramban explains that Hashem appointed these celestial bodies as intermediaries with power over nature. But the Jewish people are above these cosmic forces. We are not bound by mazel. I have a friend who likes to say, "I'm lucky," and I often say to her, "No, it's not luck. You're blessed. You're not lucky. You're blessed." So let's look at these verses. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, Rivu be'imchem rivu, fight or rebuke with your mother, fight. Ki hi lo ishti, for she is not my wife, va'anochi lo isha, and I will not be her husband. Va'taser zenuneha mipaneha v'na'afufeha mibein shadeha, and she must remove the harlotries that are on her face and between her breasts, representing that which is done in public and that which is done in private that other people don't know about. even that which is done in the recesses of one's own heart. The next pasuk starts with the word pen. Pen means lest. It's not that I want this to happen, like ulai, but rather I don't want this to happen. But it might have to happen as a last resort. Pen avshitena aruma, lest I strip her naked, vihitzagtia kiyom hivalda, and place her like the day she was born, vesamtia kamibar, and make her like a desert, vishatia keeretzia, and set her in a dry land, vihamtia batzama, and she will die of thirst, the harshest of deaths. Why? Kizanta imam, for her mother has played the harlot. Hovisha harasam, she who conceived them has behaved shamefully. Ki amra, for she said, Elcha achare ma'ahavai, I'm going to go after my lovers. Nosne lachmi umemi, tsamri ufishti, shamni ushikuye, the providers, the ones who gave me bread and water, wool, flax, oil, and drink. The wool and flax here representing clothing and shelter. We see that not only has she been unfaithful running after her lovers, but she's perverted the truth by misappropriating the source of her blessing to the lovers instead of to the husband. So what is this midbar where she's naked and bare like the day she was born? Chazal referred to Psukim in Yechezkel that describe the Shibud Mitzrayim, the servitude of Mitzrayim, as a desert, and Bnei Yisrael are an abandoned baby, naked and bare, unwashed and unswaddled. Some of these psukim are referred to not only in the Haggadah, but also at a bris milah. B'damaya chayi, b'damaya chayi, by your blood you shall live, by your blood you shall live. So the Navi is describing that because Bnei Yisrael have strayed from Hashem and instead attributed their success to either the foreign powers, foreign nations, or to the cosmic powers, they might have to, as a last resort, be sent into a harsh exile, one that's as harsh as the servitude of Mitzrayim and that oppression. That's only as a last resort. In the metaphor, we'll see that the husband will try other things in order to get his unfaithful wife to return to him. Number one, leaving her lovers. And number two, recognizing that the husband was always the source of all of her sustenance. Step one, Lachain, therefore, Hinidisach esterkech basirim, I will block your path with thorns, closing off your way, making a fence against you so that you cannot find the paths to return to your lovers. Pasuk tes, viridfa es ma'avai, velo tasigotam, she's going to run after her lovers, but she's not going to be able to reach them. And then she continues and says, va'amra, I'll say, elcha ve'eshuva el ishi arishon, ki tov li az me'ata. So I'll go back to my first husband. I'll go back to my husband, but because it was better for me than it is now. And this is really a lackluster, insincere return because it's not for the right reasons. It's not because she understands and recognizes that the blessing has come from the husband, but rather because she has no choice at this point. In the Nimshal, the Malbim explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to actually break the cycle. And they're going to lose the blessing and prosperity that comes from the celestial forces, the rain, the sun. And I will prevent Egypt and Assyria from assisting you. Some understand this half-hearted tshuva to be referring to when the king Hoshea ben Ela of the 10 tribes removed the guard posts that used to prevent the Jewish people from reaching Jerusalem and the Beis HaMikdash. And the metaphor continues, Pasuk Yod, verse 10. V'hi lo yada, she does not know or recognize, ki anochi nasati la es hadagam v'hatirosh v'hayitzar, that I am the one who gave her the grain, the wine, and the oil. V'kesef her basila, v'zahav asu labal. I gave her silver, and here the baal is referring to idol worship. So I gave her silver and gold, and she used it for idolatry. So the pasuk here is weaving in between the mashal and the nimshal, the parable and its explanation. Here the Navi is pointing out that even though Hashem has taken away the blessing and prosperity, they still don't recognize that ultimately the blessing and prosperity came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Instead, they still attribute it to their foreign sources. And therefore, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Lachain, Ashuv, Lakachti, Digani Be'ito, V'tiroshi B'moado. Therefore, I will return and take back my grain in its time and my wine in its appointed season. And I will separate my wool and my flax to cover her nakedness. Again, talking about removing the blessing. And the Malbim points out here that why is it referring to Dafka times? And he explains because in the next step, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to actually allow the forces of the cosmos to operate. They will receive their blessing, so to speak, in that what they plant will grow successfully and they'll reach harvest. But at the very time when they're supposed to enjoy that blessing, instead, everything will be destroyed. So here the cosmic forces were working to control nature, but nonetheless, they received no blessing. It's like the bracha, Yivarechacha Hashem v'yishmerecha, may God bless you and watch over you. What's the difference between Yivarechacha and Yishmerecha? We're asking Hashem, not only may we be the recipients of blessing, but that we should be able to keep it, utilize the blessing, maintain the blessing. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is demonstrating that ultimately the power comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not from these intermediaries, because your incantations and your charms all worked with the celestial cosmos, and nonetheless, you did not experience the blessing. You did not benefit from that blessing. And still she hasn't got the message. Pasuk Tesvav 15, Uvakadati Aleha es Yimei HaBa'alim. And I will visit upon her or reckon upon her the days when she used to worship the Baal, Asher Taktir Lahem. And she adorned herself with earrings and jewelry and went after her lovers. Va'usi shachacha nu'um Hashem. But I, she has forgotten, swears Hashem. The Malbim points out here that now that all the efforts that the husband has made towards the wife to return her to a loving relationship with him have failed, he now turns to the last resort, that which he talked about earlier, the Midbar, the desert representing oppression and exile. But we'll see that this is not intended to be punitive, but rather restorative. And the whole tone and description of this Midbar is going to be different than the description of the Midbar that we had earlier in the chapter, which was a place of abandonment. Listen to the tone of these next psukim. Pasuk Tesayin, Lachain, therefore, Hine Anochi Mefatiha, behold, I will allure her, Vaholachtiha Midbar, and lead her to the desert, Vidibarti Aliba, and speak to her heart. Yud Zayin, 17, Vanasati La Es Krameha Misham, and I will give her her vineyards for there, from there, Ves Emek Achor Lepetach Tikva, and the valley of despair will become an opening of hope, Vaansa Shama Kimenu Reha. And she will dwell there, or I will answer her there, like the days of her youth, Kayom alosa me'eretz Mitzrayim, like the days I took her out of Egypt. Vahaya bayom ahu, and it will be on that day, Nu'um Hashem, promises Hashem, Tikri'i ishi, she will call me my husband, V'lo tikri li od ba'ali, and she will no longer call me my master, Ba'al. So where is this Midbar? What is this experience? Is this a place where he speaks to her heart, or rather a place where there's harsh punishment? Chazal understand this Midbar to be the one referred to in Yechezkel, chapter 20, verse 35. Vehevesi eschem el Midbar ha'amim, and I will take you to the desert of the nations. Minishpatiti sham, and I will judge you there, panim el panim, face to face. So which one is it? Is it a desert, which implies abandonment, or Bein Ha'amim, amongst the nations? Is it Nishpatiti, which implies severe judgment, or Panim El Panim, face to face, that which is used to describe the relationship between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that closeness? Let me share with you the beautiful words of the Malbim on these psukim. Therefore I will entice her and take her into the wilderness. Hosea is using a parable comparing her to an unfaithful wife. When her husband saw that all of his efforts to separate her from her partners and lovers have not helped, he will entice her to go away from the inhabited area where her partners are located, to follow after him, the husband, into the wilderness, for there she will not find a man to be with. There she will be alone with her husband, and there the husband will speak to her heart and return her to a state of love. This is what Yechezkel was referring to when he said, and I will bring you to the wilderness amongst the nations, and I will judge you there face to face. These are the exiles that have been placed amidst the nation. Even though they are amongst the nation, it is as if they are in a desolate, empty wilderness, because the nations distance themselves from the Jews. And the Jews will be hungry and thirsty, surrounded by snakes and scorpions who sting them. That's what Yechezkel is referring to when he says, and I will bring them into the bond of the covenant, etc. The fact that they will be taken into the wilderness, it is there that they will be under the divine protection of Hashem. There, Hashem will speak to their hearts so that they will return to him. In the next pasuk, the Malbim continues, I will return her vineyards that he took away from them in the wilderness. The husband will once again love his wife, now that she is faithful to him, and will return her vineyards that he took from her because of her unfaithfulness. The nimshal is that the Jews will be like the days when they were taken out of Egypt. They received the Torah and faith, and they were under the unique divine protection of Hashem. They saw miracles and signs. For in the course of natural things, while they were in the desert, they had no food or water, certainly not grapes or figs, but Hashem provided the Jews with all their needs. So too, in Galus, in exile, if left to nature, the Jews would have lacked all their needs because they were prevented from buying fields and vineyards and commerce. Only because of Hashem's divine protection is there even a remnant of a Jewish people, and that we had our most basic minimal needs met. The Malbim continues, in the final stages of Galut, Hashem will remove the harshness of the exile and will find grace and favor in the eyes of all the exiles, and will begin to hope for freedom and redemption, and Hashem will bring back the miracles like the days of old, like the days of the conquering of the land of Israel. And sadly, we now know how far we still have to go before we can fulfill this prophecy, since we so clearly realize that we do not have grace and favor in the eyes of the surrounding nations. So the purpose of exile here is not punitive, but rather to recognize that our very survival is so extraordinarily miraculous. And thus, only with Hashem's divine protection have we been able to get as far as we have. When we realize the extent of this miracle, it should turn ourselves towards Hashem and increase our love for him, so that ultimately we end up with a relationship, not one of master and wife, as Baal v'Isha implies, but Ish v'Isha, man and wife, where the love is mutual. The chapter continues by describing the beautiful things that will happen in the end of days, that will no longer worship Baal, that there'll be a bris, a covenant of peace, v'hishkavtim levetach, and they will lie in safety. Verse 21 and 22 are psukim that are read when men wrap themselves in tefillin. Ve'erastich li la'olam, and I will betroth you to me forever. Ve'erastich li b'tzedek u'b'mishpat, and I will betroth you to me with righteousness and justice. U'v'chesed u'v'rachamim, and with loving kindness and with mercy. Ve'erastich li b'emunah, and I will betroth you to me with faith. V'yadates Hashem, and we shall know Hashem. This betrothal will be a binding betrothal, and the gifts that Bnei Yisrael bring into the relationship are tzedek and mishpat, righteousness and justice, and the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings into the relationship are chesed and rachamim, loving kindness and mercy. And the parak comes full circle, pasuk chaf hei, uzrati ha-li ba'aretz, and I will sow her, plant her in the land, v'richamti es lo ruchama, and I will have compassion upon no mercy, v'amarti lelo ami, ami ata, and I will say to the one who is not my nation, you are my nation, v'hu ye'amer elokai, and they will say, you are my God. In this chapter, we learn the steps that Hashem will take and the lengths that he's willing to go to restore his exclusive relationship with the Jewish people. And once we learn that lesson, then Hashem will remove the oppressiveness of exile. Ultimately, he will remove exile completely, and we will re-enter a covenant with Hashem, where we are bound permanently with him and planted in Eretz Yisrael as Hashem's nation. Thank you for studying Le'ilui Nishmat Gilbert Kersenti, Menachem Mendel Ben Sa'ud.